Okay, wait. I'm going to guess what Justin's going to pitch. It's either going to be college kids or like a bunch of people in their 30s. It's a rom-com.
I'm going to stick with a rom-com about
in the Dominican Republic.
A rom-com about a magician whose wife divorces him and he moves to the Dominican Republic after a midlife crisis and meets a she can't be a fellow magician. I'm going to go a wrangler, like a professional fisherwoman. And yeah.
But she's blind.
But she's also blind. Yeah, that's great.
We got Justin's pitch. There we go.
I think we nailed this. I'm very excited to see
what we pitch.
And then my spin will be
call it the
gay.
Wrangler. Your spin will be that it's gay. My spin is that it's animated.
For sure. Lit up the stereotypes.
That is our
hardcore.
Best pitch ever, guys. We don't even have to do the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Can We Save the Cat, your weekly writer's room and entertainment podcast, where we take three random thoughts or ideas, pitch them, pick one, and over the course of about 30 minutes or so, develop it into the next big thing. As always, I am Brian Hayes, writer and actor.
I'm Danny Hanks, writer and director.
I'm Justin Eugene, writer and producer.
And best dressed on this podcast.
Golf polo for shizzle.
Golf polo. That's all you got to do.
Golf polo.
You want to win the day? Put a golf polo on.
I feel like Justin is such a dad, but he doesn't have any kids.
I could agree with that.
But like, you know what I mean? Like you wear the golf polo, you go to the tennis thing.
I mean, in Justin's defense, it's his job.
What do you think dads do, Danny?
Go to country clubs and wear polos. That's what dads do.
Your job is very dad-centric.
Oh, dear God.
Or bachelor.
I mean, neither one of you have kids. Yeah. I don't know how you're getting these theories.
Excuse you. I have two rats, and they are my children.
They're not the same kind of children.
Justin, I'm going to use the anti-racism, which I have plenty of friends with kids, okay? My best friend has kids, okay?
Your wife is not your best friend?
Ooh.
She is my best. Ooh, that's fair. I actually would consider her my best friend.
Yeah, obviously.
And she has kids, so like, therefore... I love the look that Justin just gave. Like,
we were both like, I'm sorry. No, she does not.
Oh, my God.
What but, like, I was like, either it's an animal or things are getting weird or this is like...
What if that was the way that I told you that we were having a kid?
I would laugh really hard.
Yeah. It's not, but I mean, that would have been really funny.
Are you a godfather?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, so you haven't really like had to do that like role thing of taking care of kids yet, really?
I know people who are godfathers who barely interact with the kids.
Yeah.
Well, that would be it's an end to like have more responsibility with the kid.
Or also like my partner's sister has a kid and we've gotten to hang out with her and watch her. So
you've watched your partner's sister take care of a child?
No, we've watched the kid.
Oh, okay. The way you said it, it sounded like you watched her take care of her own child. I was like, I'm not sure that counts. You're doing a great job.
I mean, we have done that as well. Like, we're great with kids in minimal doses. I think we both realize that, like, we're still not quite ready for a kid full-time. But, like, part-time, I think we're pretty good at it. We crush it.
I don't like animals. I like kids, though. I don't like animals, though.
I don't like kids. I like animals.
I never want a pet, ever.
Yeah, same. I don't like kids. It's fun to watch a baby, like, think about things. That's what's cute.
It is. Yeah. Her kid is like a year and a half, I think. And can we also acknowledge that it's weird that people with babies are like, yeah, my baby's 37 months old. Like, okay, let me math that real quick, you weirdo.
3 years. You say it's three.
But no, she's a year and a half old. And it is really cute to see her like interact with our dogs or something and be like, Are you friend or foe? Your friend. Oh, this is a new texture of furry, you know? So it's really, it is really cute to see them like interact. So I do like that. But I couldn't take care of one of those full time right now.
Yeah, me neither.
Totally fair. Ideally, you want to be ready.
All right. Well, speaking of taking care of business.
Oh, I hate you.
Do we want to do some pitches?
No.
No, okay. Well, continue
no,
on.
Danny, we're
children.
Having live conversations here.
No. A polo to me is not a dad shirt. It's just a style of shirt.
I wish there were more non-collared, comfortable, but nice-looking shirts.
They make really nice crewnecks and blade collars.
Yeah, I remember I bought like a very expensive t-shirt and it's really nice, but it's like, I don't know, that's not... Could I wear that to a business meeting the same as I would a funny collared shirt and get the same reaction, you know?
Well, I mean, the collared shirt I'm wearing right now is an athletic collared shirt, so it's definitely way more comfortable.
You're right, but I'm pretty sure you could wear that to like a business meeting and people would be like, oh, he's fun, instead of like it seeming super casual, right?
For sure.
But if I were to wear a, like, let's say I went out and bought like $100 very nice crew neck or t-shirt or something, I would not be able to wear that to a business meeting.
Correct.
And I think that's shirtist.
It could be. I mean, it's definitely more common to wear more casual clothes to meetings, so there's that going for you.
That's fair. Yeah.
Like, my staff doesn't have to shave.
There you go.
A lot of places make their employees shave and clean shave and stuff like that. Clean
really?
Look. Yeah, clean cut look. I don't really care.
That's weird.
Can you have visible tattoos?
I haven't had to worry about that yet, but I mean, I'm guessing it would be a little bit of a conversation.
It seems like country clubs and stuff like that, like those are the conversations that probably shouldn't be a conversation, but yet it is still.
Right.
Well, it does typically lean towards older people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Our company that shall not be named had a big thing about, Danny's not going to like this, about like colored hair, like abnormal colored hair. And this is probably like 4 years ago or so. you would have to have a talking with HR, you ginger. but no, I mean, that was a big thing because the old guard, quote unquote, didn't like that people were coming in with like blue hair and pink hair and stuff like that. And they were just like, have normal hair.
Who cares?
Right. That's what I mean. That's my thought.
Well,
who cares?
To answer that question, Danny, they do.
I don't understand why people care. But then again, there are a lot of people in this world that I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the beauty of the world in some ways. Like, we're not supposed to understand everybody. And we are allowed our opinions, and they voiced it. Doesn't mean it'll end up being the rule, but they voiced an opinion.
I don't mind having an opinion as long as you can explain your opinion with validity and not just be like, well, I don't like it. Like, there has to be something there.
And they got to throw it back at you like, well, why do you need to change your hair color?
It's an expression of personality.
Why not?
Exactly. And they're going to say, like, that's not a valid reason. It's expression. This is work. Like, there's always an argument.
True.
Well, speaking of opinions, shall we transition into some pitches?
Yeah, I'm ready to pitch.
As long as you have an opinion, Danny, I'm ready to hear it. All right. My pitch is about a recording artist. They got big. Went off the rails with drugs and went into rehab. And while in rehab, we find the story of them kind of finding themselves. And the ultimate story is like they find out that they have been dealing with this for a long time, didn't realize it, but they want to change their sex. They want to like go through the transition, finding this all out when they got clean, having conversations, really like finding themselves. So basically a story of somebody going through a horrible situation because of what all the pressure and stuff, and then like going through rehab and showing how rehab can kind of like help in so many levels.
Just going to say, yet again, Justin's like, I don't have a pitch. And then it's like, transgender person gets clean. I'm like, fuck you.
I just came up with that.
All right. Well, you guys are going to hate me. But we've talked about this a little bit before. Unidentified submerged objects. So here's the thing. There are actually some USOs that are UFOs that go into the water and they come in and out of the water. And one theory is that because creatures that live in the water did not have to evolve to survive on land, that their intelligence has surpassed ours since they've had hundreds of thousands of years of a head start. So my concept is octopus aliens. The aliens that we think are aliens are actually just super intelligent, like octopus-dolphin hybrids who have figured out how to use tools underwater and create these pods in order to fly into space. And like octopus alien gets stranded on Earth and these people, like, it's like E.T., but with a goddamn octopus.
Or it's like the first 5 minutes of Hitchhiker's Guide.
Exactly. It's called The Squid in Our Stars.
Oh my, this is interesting. All right. I'm going to go with kind of a fun one. I kind of saw this as more of like a, you guys remember Harry and the Hendersons?
Nope.
Okay. We're like Bigfoot hitches a ride with this family and ends up back at their suburban house. And then they like kind of make life work with Bigfoot, this like normal family.
Okay.
I'm thinking that, but with like an ex-con. So like this convict escapes, she's on the run, she escapes from prison. And I'm also thinking comedy with this, right? So think like Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, like somebody funny like that, okay?
Yeah.
She's a convict, she escapes from prison, and she ends up at this like suburban family's house. But for some reason, she just like bonds with them. And so the wife or the husband, whomever, decides to pass her off as the family's new nanny. And so you have this like the dynamic of this ex-convict, or this convict, I should say, living with this family while still kind of on the run. And then the cops are in quote unquote hot pursuit of them because it's like, you know, the cops can, it's, I'm imagining a pure comedy. So the cops are kind of bumbling a little bit. And so they can't quite piece things together. And she just like fits into this family life. And it can be PG-13 and have like a sweet resolved ending or something. I don't know. So anyway, that's my pitch. Convict infiltrates suburban life as a nanny.
Sounds like a great sitcom.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to vote for Brian's. Sold. I voted for Brian's. I want to do that. That's what I'm feeling like today. I feel like it's between, you know, dark, depressing, real heart to heart, or like Melissa McCarthy as a convict-esque Mary Poppins slash action comedy where the kids are helping her escape from the cops at some point.
Oh, yeah. That'd be so funny. Well, I'll go next. Justin, I really, really love yours. I truly do. But I'm going to go with Danny's because, yeah, I just don't know that I'm in the mood for... We always say the best pitch doesn't always win, and I think this might be that case, although I do,
Brian,
like mine.
Oh my God, suck it up and vote for yourself for once.
No, I will always refuse.
Because now if Justin votes for mine, we have to do squid aliens.
Oh God, hold up.
The thing Brian's is, already up, voted.
What? No.
Brian's already voted.
No, no. I don't.
Brian has already voted. Shut your mouth.
I think Justin's going to.
We all agree my pitch is the best one. And I came up with it on the fly. And everyone agrees it's the best one.
It's just.
Definitely the one that would win the Oscar out of the three of us.
I mean, yes, because it's Oscar bait.
It is Oscar bait.
It's Oscar bait.
You're welcome for great ideas.
Look, I love it. I actually love it.
If I retire from the podcast next week, this is why.
You're the worst.
Right
here. Shadowing.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. Neither one of these sound amazing to do. Brian's a little hairball for me. It's like sitcom-y.
What? No, it's like...
For me... Not saying it is, I'm saying for me.
Okay.
Danny's feels dumb. And weirdly enough, we have done dumb before and it's kind of fun. But I do think the group wants to lean towards Brian, even though I think it is
okay.
Going to be so boring for me. So I'm going to choose Brian's.
So I don't think it's going to be hairball-y or sitcom-y. I'm thinking like Bridesmaids.
The way you pitched it, that's how it felt.
So feel the concept, but
the
in
show
like,
you compared it to, was it not a sitcom show?
No. It was like a family movie, kind of like a feel-good family
movie. Oh, it was a movie.
Yeah, Harry and the Hendersons.
I honestly thought it was a show.
No, it was like 80s, but yeah. It
sounds like a show.
But no, imagine like Bridesmaid-style humor. Not sitcom-y, not goofy humor. More...
Well, Melissa McCarthy to me is goofy humor. I liked Bridesmaids, but not her character.
Okay.
And I've liked almost no movie she's been in.
So imagine Kristen Wiig.
Well, you're just wrong.
I mean...
Okay, I am ready to dive in. So, big questions. One, why did this person get arrested? Two, how do they integrate into the family? And three, could why they get arrested be a part of why they pursue this family? Or like why they go back to this family?
So I can't remember them in exact order. One, it's got to be nonviolent. Don't care really what it is for, but it's got to be nonviolent. And two, she doesn't choose this family. It's just a random family. That can be our...
How old is she?
I don't know. 20s, 30s, 40s. Doesn't
35?
Really,
yeah. Would it be funny if she was like the former guy's maid?
So that would work if we want to
tie maid, but like
in.
Former babysitter, like when he was a kid or something? No?
Oh, I see what you're saying. She's like the... Oh, that would be... Okay.
Like, that's why they bring her in. Like, oh, like, she's amazing. I know she did these awful things, but, like, it wasn't her fault.
So, one of the parents is going to know who she is and what she did. Nobody else in the family is going to know. So, it's like keeping a secret from them that this is, like, she's a convict on the run from the law. So, right off the bat, that would be, like, one of the things I would say. That's, like, the catch to the whole thing.
So another thing that could put a spin on it is like Barry, he's a hitman for hire. He gets hired to take a hit out on this guy in his acting class, right? So the conflict is there. Like, what if, I don't know, she needs to like find something or steal something. And the thing that she needs to find or steal, she doesn't realize that it's with the family. Like, she knows it's in this location. So she gets free. She's like, I'm going to go to this location. I'm going to get this thing and get out. And then... ends up being a family and they like take her in.
What if she's in jail as kind of like a martyr type thing? Like, she worked for a company, she tried to be like a whistleblower or something and got thrown in jail for it. While she's in jail, she's kind of like plotting this revenge kind of thing. And she ends up, she's like reading the paper in jail and she realizes that the son of the ex-CEO or whatever still works for the company and she used to babysit him in her spare time. And so basically kind of Justin's thing of like, she used to babysit him. Now he's grown up. He works for the company and she sees that as like a way in. So maybe it's not 100% random that she chooses them. And then for Danny, she's trying to grab something out of it, like access the company files for something.
I have a concept which might make it a little
plot
bit...
twist. She's a lesbian.
I mean, yes, naturally. But what I was going to say was, because I was thinking, I was like, why would somebody randomly take in someone that they don't know? And something that is actually really popular now is like finding your blood relatives through these programs, right? Like through like DNA, whatever. So what if she is in jail for stealing stuff and she escapes and she's hiding out in the suburbs. She's on the loose trying to hide away from the cops. She ends up in the backyard of this place. They find her, but they think that she's the person that's supposed to come visit from ancestry.com who's supposed to stay with them. Maybe it's like literally their kid, like the daughter that they adopted out, or like her mom, like the mother is like a young mother in her mid-20s and she thinks that this is her birth mom that is supposed to come visit that she's been in contact with. And then this, you know, Melissa McCarthy character is about to be like, no, no, no. But then when she gets inside, the place is fucking stacked.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, shit, I'm going to be able to get the biggest haul of all time if I just play this right.
So the only thing I don't like about that is it takes away the idea that like one of them's in on it, because my idea is that they kind of bond over the course of her time there. And that's what ends up like the family, to your point, the family kind of ends up helping them out. There's like moments with the kids and they kind of help. So that kind of takes that away. That's the only thing I don't love.
Well, what I'd do is I'd have one of them clock it really early, and the one who clocks it really early is the teenage kid who's actually been the one helping with the ancestry.com online sleuthing.
Okay.
Like, she's the one that clocks it immediately, like, you're not our great Aunt Hilda or whatever.
Great Aunt Hilda. Okay. So I'm digging that.
But then, of course, she, as the con, she's like, well, what can I get for you? You know, and she's basically like trying to bribe this teen.
I'm in.
Or maybe the deal is like, okay, fine, I won't rob your parents, but let me stay in your neighborhood. What do you want? Like,
and she, like, could be like, oh, that bitch Daryl down the street is always yelling at us. So,
yeah, like, my neighbor has a PS5.
That's better than the regular thing, like, help me find love or like handle this bully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's material stuff.
So
I'm into it.
Okay. So woman on the run ends up going to this family's house. They think she is a long lost relative. The only thing about that is, again, I want to play it for more comedy. So what are some funny situations that she could find herself in? Because I was thinking if she's like having to pose as like a nanny or something.
Well, I was thinking, so the mother of this family could have been adopted, and this could be like her sister, right? Like, she thinks that it's her sister. And the thing is, she's going to have to learn this woman's whole life and pretend to be whatever this woman was, right? So you could play with the thing of like, she and the mom are the same age. She like finds her in the backyard and they like look strikingly similar. And you're like, it's just confusing. And then she thinks that it's her sister.
I think it would be funny if they look nothing alike except for the fact they have like blonde hair.
Right. Like, they both have blonde hair. And it's like, she's dyed her hair anyway.
Yeah.
It's not naturally blonde. Oh, you know what would be great? Is that the first thing she does when she gets out of jail is she goes to like a Walmart, buys some box dye.
Oh, yeah.
Dyes it blonde. And then is like sneaking around in this neighborhood, and she sees her and they have the same shade of blonde hair or whatever. Yeah,
that would be really funny. But again, I'm still trying to, okay. So in the original, I was thinking that she could slowly like bond with the family, and whenever they found out, they still kind of defended her. Is it going to be a situation where like her and the mom slowly bond and create something strong, and her and the teenage kid form a bond, and so then they kind of like, she gets them on their side, and then everybody else kind of comes around? Or like, how?
Yeah, I mean,
that?
I think the story is this mom is looking for the sister that she never had.
Okay.
And she finds the sister
or
that she
the
never
girlfriend
had.
She never had.
Well, no, because if they're related.
Oh,
come
yeah.
On, Justin.
We've talked about weirder things.
No, but like, she's looking for the sister that she never had. She's looking for this familial bond. And she finds it with this person who is so not her sister, and this person that she would never have bonded with if she'd known that she was like a convict.
Okay.
And it's just like they end up getting really close and like having this bond. And then it's kind of like something, something, chosen family, blood family. And then we have the thing is, the convict, the reason why she steals stuff is because she ran away from home at age 17 and she doesn't have any family. And so being accepted into this family is like life changing for her. And at the end, they all lie when she's going to be picked up by the cops. They all lie and say that she's somebody else.
But definitely there's that moment of like, no one knows if they're going to tell the truth or not.
Yeah, nobody knows. And like, she probably gets caught red-handed with their stuff.
That buildup of like, everyone's supposed to feel like she's definitely going to get put away, and they, weirdly enough, loop around and save her.
What it is it's the Les Mis moment where he goes to steal the candlesticks from the priest, and you think that the priest is going to be like, how dare you? And the priest is like, do you want more? Here, take these things. This is where the real money is. And like, lets him go.
Yeah.
So my fear with all of that is that we're still not making her seem like a great character.
Well, I don't think she needs to be. That's where the comedy comes in. Like, this situation changes her.
So then why would the family, like, bond with her and protect her if she's still stealing their shit?
Because she's fucking hilarious.
Well, it's over time, right? It's like the story of the Grinch. She gets
oh, so she does have a change of heart.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, okay. You made it sound like she never changes, like, and she's still going to steal from them?
Well, I think what happens is she has a change of heart. Something happens where she has a fallout with the family. In order to deal with it, she goes back on her old ways of like, fuck everything, burn all these bridges. I'm going to steal this thing. She thinks that they're going to treat her like everybody else has treated her in their life, but they treat her with kindness. And she like, it's the story of she's so wounded. She finally trusts these people. They have a fight over something. She thinks that her real self is going to scare them away or whatever, but they protect her, which allows her to come back.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I dig that. I dig that.
It's like the episode of Hill House where the brother comes in and steals all the stuff. And it's still his brother. And he's like, hey, you can take the old iPad, but I'm going to need the camera. And here's another $200 for you. Good luck. You know, I feel like it's that sort of thing where because their bond is so strong, when they're caught by the police, she's worried that they're going to turn her in. And instead, they're like, no, we gave her that. And then they give her extra to get like an apartment.
I think the good twist would be that turns out the husband is the one that calls the cops and like gives them a tip or whatever.
Gives them a tip to arrest her?
Yeah. Like, hey, the convict is at this house.
He has an emotional moment.
I would say it's the teenager. I would say, honestly, I think we can play with this character being really conflicted and really dark. And like her moment where she's really conflicted is like she's bonded with this family so much, but this entire time she's made this big plan of screwing them over and leaving. And finally she decides to pull that trigger, gets caught, and they're okay with her anyway. And like it's not in a way that enables, like she feels guilty about it. But it's just like that's the only way she knows how to live her life.
Yeah. I just struggle how you can get this is sounding more and more dramatic. And I'm not seeing the comedy all the way through.
Right. I mean, so for me, the comedy comes between her bonding with the teenager and them having a lot of shenanigans of like, oh, let me teach you how to hotwire a car.
Yeah. No, I get that. I'm talking final third. I'm not seeing the comedic aspects of it. It sounds like we go into like heavy dramatic themes in the final third.
Well, I'd say that the final third, like what she's stealing is really stupid. Like, I think it's dealing with real heavy themes, but the comedy comes in the situation.
She steals avocados. She's the avocado thief.
Right. Or like, it turns out that she stole this painting and it's a fake.
Mm.
I think the comedy in that is, it is like Bridesmaids. Like Bridesmaids has a lot of, it's dealing with a lot of like real stuff, but it's really funny.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we have husband, wife, teenage daughter.
Probably like son as well, like a younger son.
Okay.
So we have a family of four.
Convict infiltrates, pretends to be long lost sister, yeah. Has to then get crash course from teenager who figures it out. Meanwhile,
right.
They bond over, you know, shenanigans of the convict teaching the teenager like how to be a cool human being, you know.
Right. So that's basically her in with the teenager is like the teenager kind of thinks she's cool.
Yeah.
The teenager's like, you're awesome. And so she bonds with the teenager and then she bonds with the mother based on these stories about family. And yeah. Maybe it is that the mother had one sister that was adopted out. Like the mom could only have one kid. She adopted the other kid out. So she thinks that this is her sister. And she's like, oh, yeah, well, this is what mom used to say. This is what mom used to do. Like she always loved you. Here are baby photos of us. And here's what our grandma's like. And like integrates her into this big family. And she's never had family before.
Okay. Yeah. And I think the mom also struggles with like, you know, you mentioned that they're very well off. And I think she also struggles with finding her purpose or whatever, and sees mm-hmm. kind of like almost a kindred spirit with this convict who has like not been her sister, but essentially become her sister in the process. Right. And so, yeah, I think that would be a lot of it, as well as is her right. like wanting to find something more that she's been looking for. And she sees this person who's coming in, and maybe she's like a little bit looser and, well, obviously, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And what I would say is I would have the sister's real profession be something that's like lower income, but big hearted, maybe like a kindergarten teacher or something. So this convict has to pretend to be this kindergarten teacher. And I can see like the sister takes her to this big family reunion, and she's like, oh my God, like show all the kids the project that you do. Or like, you're a kid's music teacher. Like here, teach the kids music. You know, you can have a lot of fun with that. But it's also so opposite of what the convict, of what she actually does, right? Because it's like giving to children and like self-sacrificing.
Yeah, I like that, because obviously there would be those funny moments in there, and I didn't want to go with like a normal doctor or something like that where right. she has to like, oh my God, this man's dying. Like, that's so done.
But like first grade teacher, even the stuff that you have to know, you have to know a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And you have to know all this basic stuff. Like, I once knew a school teacher who didn't know how to tell time from like a regular clock.
How?
And like, that would just be hilarious. Oh, and of course the boy is like the age level that she would normally teach to, or like yeah. a little bit above. So they're like, oh, help him with his homework and all this stuff. And it's like, she has no idea what she's
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. So then there's all that fun and games. I feel like at some point, maybe the husband catches on or something, like gets suspicious.
I feel like the cops come around the first time and the wife tells the husband at that point.
The wife tells the husband that the cops have come around?
No, the cops come around, or maybe the cops come around a second time, and the husband's like, that's weird. Why would they come back again? We told them we don't know anything. And that's when the wife's like, okay, I have to tell you this.
Well, I don't think the wife knows until the end. That would be my vote.
Oh.
So the way that I would play it out is that the teenager knows, and she's bribing the teenager to keep quiet this entire time. She's simultaneously looking for an escape route and planning how to screw over this family for her own gain while bonding with this teenager. But then she's getting sucked into this family. And then what happens is, when the husband and wife find out and it's this big fallout, she basically acts out of hurt like a wounded animal and just does what she normally does and takes everything and
gotcha.
Takes off.
Okay.
And the teenager puts in the call on her. And then when they're supposed to come identify her at the station, the mother is like, no, actually, we gave her that. And we meant to give you this too.
Mm.
And like, helps her change her life. And then like, of course, you cut to like a year later and they're in the backyard barbecuing. And now she's actually a music teacher or whatever.
Plot hole, though, if she was in jail, how would she, like, how could she possibly be at like a precinct or whatever, not back in jail?
Oh, like how would she not get arrested? Well, I mean, she could go back and serve her time. And instead of,
I think it ends with her in jail and the family coming to visit her.
Yeah. And the family coming to visit. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I like yeah. that. And then it clicks.
And she's like getting her GED.
Yeah. Yeah, to become a teacher.
But to become a kindergarten yeah. teacher.
And it's like,
yeah.
well, how much longer? Like, the final scene can be her in jail with just the whole family comes to visit, but then they leave. It's just her and the mom. And the mom's like, whenever you're done, you know, you have a place to stay or something like that.
Right. And she's like, oh, you know, did you ever actually meet Martha? Right. Or like whoever yeah. the name of the sister was. And she's like, yeah, I did. It was fine. Like, that's not what she was looking for.
That actually would be really funny if we show like a scene, maybe it could be deleted scene or like, you know, scenes that show during the credits or whatever, of the mom and the actual sister, and the actual sister's like boring as fuck, you know?
Yes. Yes. I that love that. Funny. And then the other thing that you could do is, so I think the reason why the family when she gets caught the second time, the reason why the family stands up for her is because the police are trying to get stuff to add to her sentence.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And then they say, no, we gave her that.
Perfect.
I like it.
I
think we got it.
Yeah,
I actually really love this.
Yeah, I'm good. I dig it.
You're welcome. This will get an MTV Movie Award.
Hell yeah, it will.
We could have won Best Picture at the Oscars, but we're MTV people, apparently.
We are. We're MTVers.
Seth Rogeners. Danny's going to go off and do the log line. We'll be back.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder, as always, that these podcasts are for entertainment purposes only. These ideas are fresh, new, and sometimes submitted by you. Anything said is not meant to infringe on the copyright of any existing work of art, and everything is thought of during this show without any previous influence. If it sounds like something you've already seen or heard, what can I say? That's Hollywood, all out of fresh ideas. Thanks, and enjoy.
And we're back. Can you believe that? Danny's already done. She's going to pitch us the logline. We're going to go around the room and decide if we're going to save this cat or scratch it. All right, Danny, take us away.
The Sister Con. When an escaped convict gets mistaken as a suburban mom's long-lost sister, she decides to embrace this new identity as Miss Martha, a first-grade teacher from Ancestry.com, with the help of the family's rebellious teenage daughter. But when an opportunity arises to steal some expensive heirlooms, will our con choose to stay with the family she's always wanted, or do old habits die hard?
Love it. I'll go first. I save it. No, I really enjoyed this one. It's kind of silly. It's kind of family friendly at the same time. I think it's going to be one of those like hard PG-13 movies that you can take your whole family to go see. Actually, it's going to have like a good, you know, message at the end and everything. So, I like it. I save it. I think it's cute. I think it's fun. I think it's breezy. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brian here. I save it. I think it's a lot of fun, and I think that it's definitely something that we could write pretty easily, and it's such a character comedy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really like about it. I can see it. I can visually see it happening in my head.
Yeah.
And it seems like it would be pretty cheap because it's like in a suburb. For some reason, I'm like, boom, it's made. So I save it. I think it's really fun.
For sure.
Cool, cool, cool. I'm going to scratch it. Sounds like a great idea. I'm sure it fits somewhere. I would pitch it as a TV show still because I think it's better as a TV show. If it did find its way to a movie, I think it would have to have the right actor attached to it. Otherwise, I don't think it would even work. So it's just not for me, like, I would never pitch the script unless I had the actor I wanted attached. So I'm going to scratch it just because it seems like so like 50-50.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, something that it actually brings to mind to me is those like family comedy movies of like the 90s. So like,
sure.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, I feel
and,
like I yep. watched a lot of these as a kid, for sure. That's why I like it. I'm like, oh yeah, I can see
yeah,
this.
But I think feels, without Robin Williams, Mrs. Doubtfire is not Mrs. Doubtfire.
I totally agree. And I feel that's like true. I agree with you, Justin. I think this is one of those where like, I mean, let's say the budget is 12 to 15 mil and a third of that's going to that star to be able to get them on board and to be able to make this film happen. So
yeah, and on the flip side, like if the jokes you write don't hit with that person, it's you could still have like a great comedian and still have them flop because they can't hit the jokes.
Right, which is why for me it'd be like Melissa McCarthy shoo-in.
Yeah, like, I mean it doesn't done. Mean she couldn't flop one, you know, like
that's true. Also, I want to bring up we missed an opportunity to work into the plot that the teenager gets arrested and it's the con's fault because the convict taught her how to like steal stuff. And then she steals stuff and either she steals like too much or she steals it badly and then gets in trouble with the parents.
You could throw
and
that in the
she
rewrite.
She has to pretend to be like, yeah, how dare you? Like, that's so bad. And then when she gets her behind closed doors, she's like, dude, you fucked up. I told you how to do this right. Like, come on now.
Yeah. No,
don't do me dirty like this. Don't get arrested.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, I think there's a lot of those little fun. I'm a con, but you know, I'm trying to be a decent person, but also I'm a con, so I gotta teach
right.
you this.
Con with a heart of gold. Yeah.
Con with a heart of gold.
All right. Favorite season.
Well, we've got two saves and a scratch for the sister con.
I still think it should be called Con in the Family, like a play on All in the Family. And I'm making sure that this makes it into the podcast.
How are you going to do that? You don't edit it.
Good joke.
Yeah.
You don't edit it.
It will be deleted.
Oh, I hate both of you. Speaking of All in the Family, what is everyone watching?
I hate.
I have been watching American Horror Story season one. I saw like seasons two and three and some of four, but I never saw season one. And, you know, it's interesting because I'm currently in an argument as Hill House versus AHS season one. I'm in an argument with someone and I'm like, you know, Hill House, better limited series, like story, juicier, all this stuff. But AHS season one, for like the first TV show of its time to do that, really good as a TV show. Like, it is a TV show. It is truly, it follows the TV structure, all of this stuff. It is a good TV show. So, yeah, that's what I'm watching. It's a lot of fun.
Is it bad that I didn't like either one of those shows?
I loved Hill House, and I never watched an episode of AHS.
I thought they were mediocre.
You should watch season one, and then get back to me about what do you think of it. It's like Hill House, but it's just more of a TV show.
See, the thing with me is, like, I don't really like scary, but I like the family drama and dynamics within Hill House, and that's what led me to it.
Well, I've watched. AHS has a lot of that too, I will say.
Okay.
Season one has a lot of that as well, so I do recommend it.
So I might watch it. I have watched, let's see, the Gianni Versace and the OJ. So I've watched like the American Crime series story stuff or whatever that Ryan Murphy's done. I just never watched the horror story. Because as I've said, I do love a good anthology. However, I don't necessarily love a good horror. So, Justin, what you watching?
I'm watching the final season of Kim's Convenience.
Okay.
And a bit of struggle with it though, because I don't know if you saw that Facebook post from like one of the main actors about like.
Yeah.
So like I'm having a tough time watching the show because I feel like bad.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. I mean, obviously, we don't know what went on behind the scenes, but he felt strong enough to speak out about it. He spoke a lot about it. It's kind of like.
I didn't know the creators were white. I didn't know the writer's room was so white and mainly male.
Wow.
I was like, Jesus. I was like, I thought the show was awesome, really funny. And I was like, now I feel like maybe it wasn't as representative as like it felt like.
And the one white character is getting the spinoff of the show, not anybody else.
That didn't surprise me because of where the other actors were actually going in their careers, though.
Yeah, and he took offense to that, too. He basically, so I guess one of the writers had an interview where they tried to blame his Marvel career for stopping the show. And he basically came out and was like, no, I told Marvel I was going to continue to shoot the show as long as it was because it's what kind of gave me my start. And so he was like,
yeah, he definitely said that. I was just saying like he wasn't going to get a spinoff.
Yeah, right, right.
And the mom and dad weren't because I think they're bigger actors known. Mm. And then the other guy I think is a part of the spinoff, like they're best friends.
Oh, okay.
So the only one who would have got a spinoff is like the sister in the show. But yeah, it was crazy because like he did make a comment about like a lot of us were screenwriters and like we tried to pitch our ideas and I was like, that's a weird one because like unless you're there, like you don't really know. Like, I mean, they could have not written great scripts and the person was like, didn't want to tell them it was bad and just was like, no, we're not going to use these instead of being like, these are not great.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird dynamic to hear from the outside.
Yeah, so it's
the things that he brings up are... Like you mentioned, like, I mean, you can check that the writer's room was mainly white and the creators were white. Mm-hmm. And so you can like fact check these things very easily. But as far as understanding the dynamics, like it is tough, but it is hard not to see
some of the stuff. Some of the stuff he said, I was like, this is probably true. Some of the stuff I was like, this may be like perspective.
Right. Yeah.
So it'll be curious to see if the other people speak up, because it was a really great show. And he made a comment about Schitt's Creek, which obviously I didn't know about because it's a Canadian show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were getting paid way less and he brought it up and they were doing better ratings than Schitt's Creek. But I wanted to be like, but Schitt's Creek was huge in the U.S. Kim's Convenience was not huge in the U.S. So I was like, though the ratings were maybe higher on Canadian TV, I was like, I wonder if streaming was a huge factor in Schitt's Creek getting paid more on top of the fact that they did have names.
Yeah, and I also feel like Kim's Convenience is only now starting to become a thing in the U.S. on streaming. Like, people are watching it now.
Kim's Convenience has been on, has been in the stream in the U.S. for a while, but it just caught fire over the pandemic.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Schitt's Creek was big as each season came out on Netflix. Like, it was like a thing, like, oh, season three of Schitt's Creek is now out, season four is now out, etc. Kim's Convenience is like a last kind of 7 or 8 months really blown up.
And on the flip side, he talked about like they locked them into a lower contract because they signed them early. And I was like, that's good business.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, it's like, we as a group, we didn't stand up and ask for more pay. And I was like, I mean, that's on the leader of the cast there. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
So he made some good points, but he also made some points where I was like, I hope people understand that this is like some of this is like the way things just go in the world of business.
The business of it. Yeah.
But that's what I'm watching.
All right. So my What Are You Watching is something that affected me on a level that I just did not see coming. And if you've been following me on Twitter the last like week or so, you've probably seen a lot of this, but I cannot shake Bo Burnham's new comedy special Inside. That shit hit me so hard. So for those who were unfamiliar, Bo Burnham during the pandemic, over the course of a year, year and a half, et cetera, wrote, edited, directed, performed, did everything on his new comedy special. And one, not only is it just insanely well done, like, I mean, the musical numbers that he does are just crazy. Like, how did one person take the time and set everything up to where it needed to be? But two, just like the way he also incorporated and wasn't afraid to incorporate his failing mental state during it. It was really, really powerful, really well done. Not to mention, I mean, I just think Bo Burnham's one of the smartest people in Hollywood. Like, I mean, just the way that he can make you laugh, but also make you think is really, really well done to me. So I highly recommend everybody watching Bo Burnham's Inside. For me, it was one of the best pieces of art I've seen in the last few years. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you feel the same way. But really, really struck a chord with me.
OG YouTuber right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throwback.
3.14 apple pie. Yeah. I can still remember some of the first YouTube videos that I found were like Charlie the Unicorn and Bo Burnham raps. Like,
nice job. Looks like we all were listening and watching some powerful stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
Great
stuff.
We have
good taste,
guys.
Man,
our taste is amazing.
I agree.
Yeah. So we have two saves and a scratch for The Sister Con. We also have American Horror Story Season 1, Kim's Convenience, the final season, and Bo Burnham's Inside. That about wraps it up for this 45th episode of Can We Save the Cat? Thank you all so much for listening and following along. As always, I am Brian Hayes. You can find me at Bredacted on the socials. You can also find the podcast at Can We Save Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and Can We Save Podcast on TikTok.
I'm Danny Hanks. You can find me on Instagram at @OfficialDannyHanks and on Twitter at @Danny_Hanks. That's me.
I'm Justin Eugene. You can find me on all platforms at Justin Eugene. Please make sure you like and subscribe and share the podcast with your friends. Let's keep growing this because it's been a blast and we want to keep it going. So thank you all for the support so far.
Thank you all.
Yay, give us 5 stars.
Deuces.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.